Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Memorial Day Monday. We're going to talk some USC Trojan football, some interesting news breaking over this long weekend about a potential transfer five-star player into USC. So we want to talk about that. A few other topics of note, answer some of your questions with the coach, Harvey Hyde. He's on the line right now. Follow him on Twitter, at Coach Harvey Hyde, or Instagram, at Coach Harvey Hyde, or you can go to his website, HarveyHyde.com. If you have any questions or comments for us, we love to hear from you. Drop us an email, podcast at uscfootball.com, or you could call or text us. The number is 424-254-9141. We love doing the show. We love you guys listening out there. Please tell your friends that are USC football fans about our show. This is going to be our 12th football season here at the Peristyle Podcast. We've been going for quite a while talking about the USC football team, and we got some interesting news to talk about today. But first, we got to welcome in the coach, Coach Harvey Hyde. Happy Memorial Day to you, Coach.
Hey, thank you, Ryan. I tell you, football goes year-round. We're working on Memorial Day. Why? We can't take a day off. Somebody might get ahead of us, Ryan. You know how that is. So for all of you out there, if you listen on Monday, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Get ready for Tuesday. It'll be a short week. And I hope you are with your family and friends. So, yeah, Ryan, football never goes away, and there's always something happening. That's why we're always doing our weekly podcast.
Yeah, we try to do them all the time, obviously. We got some, should be one or two more this week. We got to sneak a recruiting one in there, too. But for today, there was some, you know, breaking news that our Chris Trevino put up late Sunday night, and been some follow-ups from the Texas side of things, 24/7 sports. So we're going to talk about the potential of Brew McCoy coming back to USC. Before we do that, though, I just wanted to wish everyone a very happy Memorial Day. It's a special day. A lot of great tributes to fallen troops from over the years on Twitter and Facebook and things like that. So I think it's nice when they're using social media to remember the fallen people that gave the ultimate sacrifice that allows us to do things like this and be a part of this great country. So happy Memorial Day, everyone. And interesting note over the weekend, like I talked about. So if you remember Brew McCoy, he's a five-star athlete, wide receiver, mostly playing. He was at Modern Day and committed to USC, signed with USC, enrolled in school at USC as an early enrollee. Couple weeks in, decided to transfer out. So it was huge news. Entering the transfer portal after already being at USC was not, didn't go through spring football or anything yet, but he transferred out to Texas. And he's been at Texas, goes through spring ball and all of that. And we started to hear, it might have been over a week ago. We started hearing some rumblings like, there could be something to this. The Brew McCoy potentially could come back. I actually reached out to some Texas sources and didn't really hear much on that side earlier. It was more kind of on the USC side. And, last night, Chris Trevino put it out there. So he's it looks like right now he's his intent is to transfer from Texas. The most likely landing spot is USC. Don't think anything is set in stone. Nothing's been made official. He's not even listed in the transfer portal as of yet, at the time we're recording this. But really interesting development. The transfer portal has made things very entertaining, I guess you could say, this offseason. This one is about, we haven't really seen anything like this before, Coach. I think it was Seth Collins who decided to transfer out of Oregon State when they switched him from quarterback to wide receiver, was going to go to like Northern Illinois or something, I want to say, or something like that, and then ended up coming back, but then transferred to Texas Tech after that. But this is something that's pretty unique, Coach, and maybe we'll see more of it, but this is a pretty unique one. I don't know if you can like even make this kind of stuff up.
Well, I think, Ryan, these things happen. I've had it happen to me, but not in the same year or almost the same semester. But it happens. That's why when a student athlete says, Coach, I'm going to another school, you say, you know, we wish you'd stay with us, or we wish you'd have picked us, because you really fit our program. We really like you, and we've known you for a long period of time and watch you play all the time. You don't really burn a bridge, but you say, you know, if things aren't what it's supposed to be, then remember our number. We'll take you back. We think you're a great player, so on. But the only way that that kid can find out if he wants to come back, if he's that set on going, is to let him explore it. And sometimes kids become very confused at the last moment regarding what they should have done. And when he went to USC and selected USC, he's always wanted to be a Trojan. So all of a sudden something triggered him that, oh, I made a mistake, or all the media or the Coach Kingsbury leaving or whatever, the confusion got him confused. And he transferred to Texas. And then when he got to Texas, maybe it wasn't all what he thought it was going to be. He probably became homesick. He wasn't the star that he was in California. People in Texas, well, you're just one of many, and we really favor our Texas kids because this is where we get all of our recruits from, whatever, combination of things. And he said, rather than wait, I'm going to leave, or I'm thinking of leaving. He hasn't left and called. I mean, maybe he's called USC. I don't know. And go back to USC. Now, I don't know what the transfer eligibility situation is, if they have to appeal it, or if it's a hardship or whatever. Will he be eligible this year or not? But I'm sure he'll be able to redshirt and become a great player for the Trojans. So it's a combination, I would say, Ryan, of a lot of things as far as handling it right when he left. And in his mind continuously, he wondered if he did the right thing. And after being there and not being there, people didn't even know who he was, he probably felt, you know, I'm going to go back to Southern California, be near home, my high school friends, the Trojans, what USC has offered me, what they're doing offensively. And I think that's what has entered his mind, and we'll see if that happens.
Yeah, we will, Coach. It's pretty bizarre, I guess, is the best way you could put this, to see a player go into the portal twice in, you know, a 4-month period or something like that. We haven't seen stuff like this before. I think looking for, you know, the rules are interesting because they're going to be tested. He was already an initial counter at USC. And so as far as counting for one of the 25 scholarships that you can bring in every year, even though he transferred out, he came in. So he was counted. He was an initial counter for USC. So that takes one of them away that USC could have brought in. He also, when he transferred to Texas, he was an initial counter there. Now coming back, my guess is, and I haven't heard this for sure, but I kind of asking around. It seems like the understanding that the people I've talked to that kind of know the rules, but you know, like better than I do at least, is because he was already an initial counter at USC, he doesn't have to be an initial counter again. It's not like he takes up another incoming scholarship. He already had one. Now, I mean, haven't got that confirmed for sure. That seemed that would make sense that he'd already counted once. It's sort of like the double jeopardy thing. I don't think you could count twice. I mean, maybe you could. From what we've heard, that's what seems like it is, but I haven't been able to get anyone to confirm 100% that that's what the rule would be. But it's interesting. I think USC had some pretty good momentum, after spring football with the way things went with Graham Harrell and, you know, things going with the team in the weight room and all that kind of stuff. It seemed like there were some positives there, Coach. The negative in February, certainly with the recruiting class, was more of a whimper than a big splash. This would be a pretty big splash, though, apparently missing out on Chris Steele when he transferred out of Florida and made his intentions to go to Oregon. I know there's still been some rumblings and stuff about that, but you know, at least that was his initial decision to go to Oregon. This would be a pretty big deal, I think. I mean, getting another five-star in into this class. I think it helps it all. I don't know how it would be classified, because even in 24/7 Sports, they didn't put Brew McCoy in the transfer portal we have there because they wanted to include him in Texas's recruiting class. Well, he already went through spring football, so maybe he still would be part of Texas's recruiting class, not USC's. It doesn't really matter. It's just, you know, kind of where he ends up. But this kind of testing all of like the little nuances of rules and how things work, Coach, because we, like I said, just haven't seen something like this.
Because it's within the same year and recruiting period, I don't believe it would count against USC. I think it'd be part of the 25, but they counted him as far as the 25, so obviously he would come back and be a part of that 25. They wouldn't charge him another scholarship for that. That didn't even make common sense. So he might not be eligible, but it'd be like a redshirt type of eligibility. You have to see what happens. But yes, it would make a great impact again for Southern California for many reasons. Recruiting-wise, again, the inn at my modern-day high school, being with his friends, all of the above, Bryce Young coming. You know, all of those type of things make a difference as far as the image of USC and its football program. And this kid has a big name, and when people hear about this type of athlete coming back, they say, wow, that's great. I want to play with these type of athletes. So I think it's a big thing for USC as far as it happening. I hope it does. And I think it'd be a coup as far as getting the momentum going for recruiting and getting back to where the Trojans should be in recruiting.
Yeah, and so scholarship-wise, too, just so people know, the initial scholarship, you know, that was already, you know, accounted for. So like Coach said, I don't like we said, I don't think that that's the case. Common sense would say you're not have to, you wouldn't have to count twice. Looking at my scholarship distribution chart, that would bump USC up to 82 scholarship players, and another freshman in the class who would be 35th. He'd be the 35th freshman on the roster. So a lot of freshmen, a bunch of sophomores, some juniors, and then not that many seniors on this team. But we'll see. It could have a huge impact on USC going forward. So kind of stay tuned. Expectations, probably you're going to see his name in the transfer portal in the next couple of days, I would guess. That's what Chris Trevino is reporting to.
Well, also, I don't know if the people realize this, but Randall Grimes has committed to UNLV. So just to keep everybody up to date, you may have reported that already, Ryan, but I wanted to mention that to everybody.
Yeah, I forgot. We haven't talked about it on the podcast and stuff yet, but he was originally committed to Minnesota, right? And then that's changed. So it's hometown team of UNLV. So good for Randall. I think it'll be good for him to go home and get there. But yeah, that's, you were hearing that around from your UNLV sources, Coach, before? Or?
That's right. I have. And I think he'll get a hard shit approved for reasons. And I think it'll be good for him. It'll be great for his program. And he's back home. And love to see kids get taken care of. And, you know, when they make a mistake or they have to transfer, sometimes he's confused too, McCoy may have been. I think he's a great athlete, okay? I think he's an impact player for them to get players like that. So I'm happy for the kid, and I'm happy for UNLV. I feel bad for USC because I think they lost a great player.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah, but Brew McCoy coming in certainly would help some of the losses that USC's had at wide receiver. You know, Brew McCoy being one of those losses. So that's a direct replacement for one of the losses. You bring the same guy back. Also wanted to talk about, we got to discuss this last week a little bit, but not with you, Coach. The Athletic came out with a story where USC's you know, basically second command in the athletic department behind Lynn Swann, Steve Lopes, kind of hinted at, hey, they could potentially schedule FCS teams, you know, that's something that USC has not done before. We talked about this on our Tunnel Vision show and some of the other stuff on the website and everything. But Coach, we didn't get to talk with you about that. I wanted to get your thoughts on that potential if USC would go down that road.
Well, you know, you've got to follow a motto that a mold or whatever you want to call it that has been working, and it certainly has been working for the Southeastern Conference and also working for the ACC as far as playing a team where you get a W and you really basically have a nice scrimmage and a bye week, and you don't pound yourself weekly. And I think currently now in the Pac-12, with the type of schedule that the Pac-12 plays, as we all know, they play one more game than those other conferences. So that means they're going to have one more loss. Someone is than those other conferences. That doesn't help as far as your overall ranking and going to the playoffs. So I think that also with the parity now in the Pac-12 and everything that way, that anybody can beat anybody. It's been proven. Washington State and Oregon and Washington and all these other schools and the coaching changes that are going on. David Shaw at Stanford, you don't want to play him every week either. You know, really, you look at this and you say, well, we don't want this, but you got to remember the way USC was in some of those years in competing, they were just better than everybody. I mean, that's why they could play that type of schedule. They had more players than everybody else. They beat them to death. And those other schools in the conference really weren't that competitive with USC. John McKay used to say, my O is better, bigger than your X, so if we don't mess it up, we're going to beat you. And now I think with the parity in the Pac-12, I think schools will look towards that to be able to get a W, which goes towards your winning percentage, have a good scrimmage, heal up, give some of your reserves a chance to play, have a home game out of it. Now, one thing, too, will the people in Southern California come out to support that type of schedule in the Coliseum when they have so many options as far as with the Chargers and the Rams and so on? I think they will if you win. If you win, people come out. It doesn't make any difference who you play. And I think that that's proven in some of these other areas when they have 50 and 60,000 at their spring game, because they just want to see their team and support their team. So I don't think it's as bad as what everybody's making it. I mean, look who they still play. I mean, they still play BYU. They still play, if it was going to be this year, they still play Notre Dame, and that's one of the top teams in the country every year. So if they pick up someone there, you know, I don't think it's going to be bad. Plus, Steve Lopes, I know Steve Lopes, and he does the scheduling. It's not easy to get people to play USC. And you only have certain dates that are open with the Notre Dame game that they have every year. So you call all over the country and people say, no, we don't want to come to the Coliseum. No, we don't want to play USC, whatever. So it's not as easy. And I think he's sort of letting people know that this possibility could happen. But I don't think it's going to ruin the program or the tradition at USC. If anything, if they have the type of program they need, it'll be a rest week plus get a W with the competition the way it is. So I don't think it's that bad. I mean, if I was the head coach at USC or when I was at UNLV and other schools, I mean, I didn't mind having an opponent that I figured that we could win and still get better. So I think that this is something that people have to look at.
All right. Coach wanted to talk about that, obviously on the FCS side of things, but there's an interesting development as far as what's going to change for USC and their Salute to Troy event. And if you don't know, usually if the Salute to Troy has been an event, it's like a big barbecue on campus on Cromwell Field. And it's a fun event. The players will come out, they'll go to practice and they'll come out and they're, you know, shower, and then they'll get in their jerseys and hang out with people. And it's been a fun event. Now, you know, a few years ago, there was that weird stuff that happened with Steve Sarkisian, but since then it's been pretty quiet. Nothing really a major going on there, but they're going to make some changes, Coach. I'll let you talk about that, but I like the new direction of the way this is going, and it's a way for USC fans to kind of get into the Coliseum before that first Rams preseason game, because you'd rather have something USC in the Coliseum as opposed to something Rams be the first thing in the newly renovated Coliseum. But I wanted to get your thoughts on that, if you want to explain what's going on there, Coach.
Well, what I've heard, and I think probably some people have heard the same thing, and until it's really official, I think it is official, but I wouldn't say this, but I think it's a tremendous idea to take the Salute to Troy to the Coliseum and the renovated Coliseum. Like in the spring, you heard me say they really never had a game-like situation where they had an opportunity to be off the field, use their headsets and everything. Remember, they have five new coaches. So you have to see who's going to be upstairs, who's going to be downstairs, what really works, what really doesn't work. And then again, the opportunity of I would go to a hotel and I would set the standard the night before the scrimmage, exactly how it's going to be, what I expect, what you wear, how you ride the bus, do we allow headsets, the whole thing, assistant coaches, what we wear on the sideline, the whole package. So when it becomes game night or game day, you're not disciplining people then or telling them exactly what the rules are and regulations. You go through all of that as far as the meetings, the taping in the hotel, the whole thing. So there's a schedule of events, the itinerary, you go on the field, you do your stretching, you do everything. Everything like a real game, the whole thing. And also, it's the real thing for the fans. The way I understand it, the fans that have tickets or season tickets or whatever will sit in their seats. So when they go to the Coliseum, they know where their seat is. So they'll say, not just on game day, they'll say, this is where we sit. This is how we get there. This is great. And I think it's the same thing, too, for a player. When they go in the new locker rooms and they take the field, it's not looky-looky day. Oh, look at this. Look at that. That's new. Oh, how about this turf? Oh, man, look at that press box. Hey, no. You want all that out of the way. Get all your looky-lookies out of the way a couple of weeks before your first game. So when you go to play Fresno State, it isn't like they haven't seen the Coliseum before. They don't know what it looks like or where they stand or sideline discipline or the whole thing. So I think it's really a heck of an idea. Plus, they can still have all the tailgating opportunities there at the Coliseum. There's not a conflict with the Rams. I think the Rams had have a preseason game the next Saturday, so I think that's why they've selected the 17th. I think it's a win-win for the fans. I think it's a win-win for the team and coaches, everybody, because the salute to Troy is a great traditional event, but it was sort of dying off. The attendance was sort of dropping down. And I don't want to say it was boring, but it was starting to not be really what I consider an exciting day. Plus, the practice was sort of cut back so they could get to salute to Troy and all of that. Now, it's a game situation for everybody. The tailgate in your area. Go to your season ticket seats or wherever you sit. The team is in the locker room doing what they do on game day. Ryan, I don't think you can do enough of this. I think it's absolutely fabulous. And Ryan, you'll probably have an opportunity to sit in the press box in your new seat too, so you'll be better prepared.
That would be pretty cool to check that stuff out. You know, we've heard there's still, there's some issues there as far as finishing the Coliseum. They got a long way to go. But it's... I think that would be a really neat event. We kind of give a USC crap when they do like bizarre things. I think this is a really good idea. So I'm glad they're going to do something like this and get people in the Coliseum to get a feel for it. I think, like you said, Coach, the attendance of Salute to Troy hasn't been that great. And I think they tried to, after the Steve Sarkisian stuff, I think they tried to put less emphasis on it, like just make it like a, yeah, we're doing one, but don't necessarily, they weren't trying to make the biggest deal out of it just because, you know, it's kind of a crazy, thing that happened. And they just didn't want more weird things and, you know, bad press to come out of an event that's supposed to be, you know, positive and fun for the fans. But this will change it, I think, change the kind of narrative of what Salute to Troy is if they're going to keep doing that going forward, especially with not having spring game the last couple of years. At least this gets fans an opportunity to get in there and check it out, sit in the new seats, see where they're going to be. And I think it's cool. So I'm glad, you know, props to USC for putting that together. I think this is the right call.
I think it's one of the smartest things they've done, Ryan. I really do. Because people know where they park, where their parking spot is. I hope they give their assigned parking places to them too, so they know how to get into the Coliseum, where their parking's going to be. The whole package. So that way on game day, everybody isn't upset. They know where to go. I think it's a great experience for the players and the fans and the media and everybody involved with the USC Trojan football program.
Yeah. All right. We'll kind of move on. Those are some of the topics we wanted to discuss. We get to a couple questions and leave you guys with that. We got Brett from Valencia. He says, my question is, if Clay Helton does well this season because of Graham Harrell, would other teams be looking for him maybe as a head coach? And, you know, so basically he wants to know if people are going to try to poach Graham Harrell away, either for a head coaching position or, you know, could be offensive coordinator or something somewhere else. But what did Coach Hyde do when he was the head coach and other teams were looking at his assistants? Huge fan of the podcast. Keep up the great work as always. Fight on. Brett from Valencia.
I hated it. I did, because you go out and you find great coaches. And, of course, at UNLV, people could come in, like, you know, the 49ers or USC and some of these great programs. We weren't in or on that level. And pay more money and take young coaches or take coaches that are qualified and give them a great opportunity to have a dream come true. It happens. I've had coaches leave and go to Texas Tech and go to different areas that it was difficult for me to sit down when they would come in and say, "Coach, I've got to talk to you." I'd say, "Oh gosh, here we go again." And I would say to them, congratulations. I would say to them, thank you very much for what you're doing. And I'd say, is it the money that makes the difference? Because I'll try to go to the athletic director and make a difference. And if they said, no, coach, it's just a great opportunity, then I'd shake his hand, give him a big hug, and he'd go. I just have to ask him when he's going to be going so that I can have enough time to go out and find someone. And it's very difficult to find great coaches. It really is, because now all of a sudden, especially if you lose a lot of coaches in 1 year, you're coaching the coaches and not the players. You're trying to tell the coach, no, that's not the way we ride the bus. No, that's not the way we teach that drill. No, that's not where you do warm-ups. All the different things. Then the new coach goes to a recruiting area that he has to familiarize himself with, and all the coaches and all the contacts he has. So it's a big deal when you lose a coach. It really is, especially if your coach has been recruiting certain players. I used to ask him, please don't recruit the players away from us that you've already brought here, but you used our money to bring them here. Please don't, and that helped you get your job. Please be loyal enough to leave those players alone. And sometimes they did, and sometimes they didn't. So it's a very difficult thing to do about Graham Harrell. I don't think yet he will leave USC, because why would he leave USC if he has a successful year? Why would you do that? You can't. There's not many programs that are got greater tradition than USC, and if you don't have a great year, nobody's going to want you anyway. So if you have a great year, just stay there, man. Maybe you'll get an extension on your contract, because you're not going to get a head coaching job in 1 year. You know, a lot of people think that was an accident. What happened? He had great players, and that's why he win. You have to establish yourself to get a great head coaching position. Now, in lower level jobs, there's a possibility, but why would he go to a lower level job?
Yeah.
Wouldn't even consider it. I would tell him, you're crazy to do that if I was the head football coach. You stay here, you'll make more money here, you make more money here than you would as the head coach there. So that's my answer to those questions, or that question. I think it was a good question.
No, good question. And I think, you know, if you're talking about leaving for a head coaching position, that's hard to do. It's hard to stop, because, you know, that's a, you know, significant upgrade when you get to actually run your own program. And I think that doesn't look bad. Like, coach, if your offensive coordinator got hired to be like the head coach at Texas Tech or something, like you said, like that's I think that looks good on you, that one of your assistant coaches would be considered for something like that.
Oh, I agree 100%. I lost a coach to the 49ers, my recruiting coordinator, which he went in and became a director of player personnel, Mike Lombardi. I think you've all heard of him. He just wrote a book, Gridiron Greats, became a general manager for two or three teams in the NFL. I've lost coaches to the Kansas City Chiefs. I've lost coaches to, you know, great programs. So, you know, that happens. That's part of the job. So, You have to adjust to it and understand. If it was me, I left the head coaching position at Pasadena City College. It was really hard to say I was taking that job, because I had so many great players there and we had won so much. It was so difficult for me to leave. But sometimes you have to say, I got to take this opportunity, because I never may ever get it again when I went to UNLV.
Yeah.
So you got to do some things and make a decision on your life and the future of what you're going to be, or you can't look back and say, I wish I'd have done that.
Yeah.
So I think that's the type of thing it is.
And we got one more question. Michael from Newport Beach. He says, I know USC is trying to market itself, and part of that process is getting the individual players more media, like the, he said, below screenshot. I don't see a screenshot here. Sorry about that. This was an email to use on their personal social media accounts. So yeah, there's been a push, and they'll get screenshots that individual players will tweet out if you see some of that. He said, this is nothing against Michael Pittman. My critique is on the athletic department and Clay Helton. Why does it seem like the majority of the media is so focused on the individual versus the team or position squad or even the class? Pittman is senior, shouldn't be repping his class, making their stamp to write the 5-7 ship. As coach always points out, the small things like socks, shirts, and uniformity of the team matter. Why don't the athletic department coaches set the table for the right environment? And I didn't see, I looked through Michael's posts and stuff, and it seems like, you know, he tweeted some team stuff for sure. He graduated recently. He tweeted pictures with some of his friends and, you know, that he had graduated with, some of his classmates and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, that's, I don't know. What do you think about that, Coach? I haven't seen that being too much of a problem, but what did you think?
As far as teammates or just what is the main question, the gist of the question, so answer it directly?
He thinks that their social media policy is a little too much about individuals and not about the team.
I agree with that. I think there's no control on their social media. I think anybody, that they have too much going out on their own as far as pictures and flexing their muscles and doing the different things. I think there's too much. I think there's a sports information department that highlights each one of them. I think it's all right to tweet out to your friends as far as happy birthday, these, this, and that. But the football program itself is a team. I agree 100%. And when it becomes individual, then everybody tries to outdo the other person. I don't think any of those type of things should be out there. I think it's a thing that the Sports Information Department allows. I mean, you have the opportunity, Ryan, of interviewing anybody you want and all these different things. I think that's enough. I don't think it becomes an individual thing. And with social media, it's really tough. There are some programs that when you check in the hotel the night before the game, they just take their phones and say there's no more communication with the world till after the game. And, I think that the phone becomes a non-focus apparatus. I mean, you're tweeting on the bus. You're tweeting in the locker room. You're looking at halftime to see what people are thinking about their performance. What are you doing? So there's some people that say, check your phones in. And if someone rebels on that, what are you thinking about? We've worked all year around for this 1 hour of performance, and you have to look at your phone to see if you have to return a call. If there's a big emergency, we'll get it to you. We'll get the message to you. So there's some things that I might say out there, and the coach and you parents or somebody might say, that's ridiculous. But hey, it's not ridiculous. When you consider what you're doing, if you're a lawyer, do you take the phone into your courtroom and call people or tweet out things? If you're a doctor, do you take your phone into the surgery room or read how you're supposed to do the surgery? Hey, you're going to work and you're doing surgery on your opponent. So I'm not saying they should do that. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm answering the question. I think there is too much social media structured within the USC football program.
I went and found the email because it didn't have the attachment originally, but it was actually an Instagram post. And so USC will put out these edits for some of the individual players. And this one was like Michael Pittman in a cowboy hat and Coliseum in the background and Traveler running and stuff. It's kind of cool. I mean, I think you as a program, you're obviously marketing the team all the time, but you have to market your potential stars. And Michael Pittman's certainly a potential star. So I think you're doing things like that. I don't see this as being some kind of huge problem. This is not like during the season or anything, but they're making a push to try to market this team because they were 5-7, like you mentioned. So I think they're trying to do whatever they can to put it out there. Like, hey, there's some exciting stuff coming. You know, get people excited again, because there really haven't been a high level of excitement for this team. You know, and people are very critical of the coaching staff and all that kind of stuff. So to me, it's just they're trying to like build some momentum and stuff here. And they have, you know, department that'll work on graphics and stuff for some of the individuals out there. But I think they do a lot of team stuff too. But that's just, I think, one of the aspects of what they're trying to do social media wise.
Now, let me ask you, who sent that out?
So it was the edit was done by USC. And then I think they give them to the players, and like Michael Pittman put that up on his Instagram.
So the athletic department allowed that to happen. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, my understanding is that they'll put some of these together for some of the players and give them things. And here, you can tweet this out. And there's like Trojan Tuesday. They're doing stuff where they're trying to get more. They have former players they'll have them tweet old pictures to try to get people excited. So this is just, I think, part of their sort of social media marketing plan, you could say.
Well, let me put it to you this way. If you play good enough, people know who you are. If you win enough games, people will come to the games. And try to do or encourage people that way, I don't think it's the right way. I think Michael Pittman's a great player, and I think he's a leader and all of that. I don't know if Alabama does that or Clemson does that or Ohio State does that. I think that if it comes out of the and if you're a great player and you're trying to be an award-winning player, you do it on the field, and I hate to see that stuff. I wouldn't allow it in my football program, okay? I think you're making a joke of the uniform or the tradition and everything else to get people to go. And I think the people that allow that to happen really don't know how it affects the image of your program and coaches and people that have played, past players like Munoz and all these guys. You think they dressed up like that, or Marcus Allen, to get people to come, or Matt Leinhardt? Heck no. Don't lower your level of your standards of your program. I'm not for it. And as you know, this is my opinion, and Ryan, you had a different opinion. You call it cool, but I don't think it's part of what a program is. You know, I would never allow that, okay, for my sports information department. And I'm not saying Pittman did. I'm saying I would never allow that for my sports information department. And if Urban Meyer was to ever come to USC, I'm not saying he's coming, there'd be a lot of changes and a lot of things at USC.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some things done differently. All right, Coach. Well, good stuff. Thanks for jumping on this Memorial Day weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Hey, buddy. It's always good to have you working on a holiday. Yeah. I love it. I love you working on your holiday. I do.
We do what we can, you know. We
got to do what you got to do to win. Remember, winning isn't easy. Everybody's trying to do it, buddy.
Yeah. Winning's a popular thing, so everyone's trying. All right. Well, that's the Coach Harvey Hyde. I'm Ryan Abraham. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Peristyle Podcast, and we will talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.